We continue in our sermon series called Interruptions, which we're looking at interruptions in our own lives, and also how God calls us to be interruptions in the world at times. Of course, the word interruption comes from, I believe it's Latin, inter meaning between, and rupt meaning to tear apart or to break apart. And so an interruption is something that happens between folks that breaks apart what was normally going on. And today we talk about the idea, the fact, that interruptions are messy. Yes, Becca. I love you too. Can you sit down, please? Thank you. Be nice if that were a planned little illustration, but it's not. Interruptions are messy, and life is messy, right? Sometimes these messes are literal, and sometimes they are figurative. With kids and dogs in our house, we have lots of literal messes, in our house at least. There's spilled drinks and milk all over the place. There's dogs tear up stuff. There's plates and cups that fall and break. Last night we had some friends over, and we didn't get the bonus room as cleaned up as I would have liked beforehand, which means that it gets even messier when people are there. So there's just like Legos and popcorn and trains all over our bonus room right now. Life is just full of literal messes in our house. I think the worst mess that we've had, though, and I'm glad that our kids are now out of diapers, but when our dogs get a hold of the diapers, oh man, that is a mess. Many of you might have experienced that. One of the worst messes I ever read about, maybe you saw this on Facebook back in 2016. Everybody familiar with the Roomba? The little automatic vacuum cleaner that just kind of drives around your little house and it cleans whatever room it is. I read on Facebook the story of a dog that wasn't house trained and left a mess in the middle of the floor, and the Roomba ran over it and then continued to spread that all over the room. It's a hilarious read. If you haven't read it, just Google Roomba dog poop, and it is a hilarious story. So if you need a good laugh, check that out. But life is just full of messes, these literal messes, but also figurative messes too, right? Things that we get into, sometimes through our own fault, sometimes through no fault of our own, often in kind of a combination of those two in some kind of way. Now, I wish I had a great story here to tell you about a mess that I got myself into, but I don't. I'm too much of a rule follower to get into too many messes. You know, even when I was in high school, like, you know, people rebel and do all kinds of crazy stuff. But the craziest thing I ever did was steal some traffic cones and use them at a football game as a megaphone. I mean, I just never did anything too crazy. Never got into too big of a mess. Probably the biggest mess I got into was I took a road trip after college, and we went to the Grand Canyon and tried to hike from the rim to the base back to the rim in one day. And we were able to do it, but we weren't sure we were going to. And it was a messy situation. But I just don't get into too many messes. But a lot of us have experienced messes, haven't we? My wife, Nancy, was exercising yesterday. And last week, I was talking to my therapist that I just kind of came to this realization that I've hit middle age now, right? I mean, so I'm in my late 30s. My kids are out of diapers. I've been in my career working full-time for more than a decade. I think I just have to face the reality that I'm middle-aged now. Nancy has not quite faced that reality yet. Because she was exercising yesterday, and she did something that, you know, would have been fine for a young adult to do, but as a middle-aged woman, maybe she shouldn't have tried to do. And she fell, and she hurt herself. Her knee is all hurt. It's all swollen. She hurt her arm. She can't move it very well. She's at the doctor this morning getting checked out. We get ourselves into messes sometimes, don't we? Messes. Oh, life is full of them. But a lot of times they're things that we have no control over at all, that we don't even contribute at all or much to. Natural disasters happen. Your house burns down. You lose a job. You get a diagnosis that is terrible and difficult. Someone in your family, someone that you love, dies or leaves. Addiction. All kinds of messes that are in our lives. And I'm left with the question, how does it get to that point? And where is God in all these messes? When I think of messes like that, the story that comes to mind is of my aunt. Her name was Jonda. She was my mom's older sister. And throughout her pretty much entire adult life, the entire time I knew her, she struggled with addiction to painkillers and to meth and to some other things. And sometimes you could tell that she was using, sometimes you couldn't. Sometimes she'd show up to family gatherings and holidays, sometimes she'd just not be there. But eventually, she died of an overdose. Messes that we get into. Sometimes our fault, sometimes not our fault, sometimes a combination. But where is God in the midst of all of those? In the story we hear of Jesus today, there are some messes in that story as well. Literal messes. The guys tear open the roof of the house that Jesus is in. I imagine all this debris falling down, hitting people on the head, just a big mess. And even if all this stuff doesn't fall, there's a hole in the roof that somebody's got to fix, right? There's this literal mess. But there's also the figurative mess in this man's life. This man is paralyzed. He can't get from one place to another on his own. People have to carry him on a mat for him to go anywhere and do anything. Now, we don't know how this man became paralyzed. Maybe he was born that way, but I would guess that something happened later in life. Maybe he was working, and he was working up high, and he fell and broke his back. Or maybe an animal, an oxen or a horse or something, ran over him, trampled on him, and he was injured in that way. Or maybe a tree or something fell down. We don't know, but something happened to him. A mess happened in his life for him to end up not being able to move, not being able to walk, not being able to live life fully. And his friends bring him to Jesus, and there's nothing that will stop them from getting him to Jesus. Not a crowd, not even the roof of a building. And they lower him down. And Jesus forgives the man first. And then he heals him. He tells him to stand up, take your mat, and walk home. Jesus encounters this man in his mess. And he loves him. He forgives him, and he heals him. Jesus meets us in our messes as well. Whatever mess we have in life, whether it's a literal one or a figurative one, whether it's one of our own making or one that just happens to us, Jesus meets us in those messes and offers us the same. Offers us forgiveness and reconciliation, offers us hope and healing in our lives. Now, it doesn't always take the form that it does with this man. It's not always something that's so obvious and apparent and exactly what we're looking for and asking for, but Jesus meets us in our messes and forgives us and heals us. Can you sit down, please, with Mr. Kevin? One of the amazing things about Jesus is that he says yes to these interruptions and messes. I think our tendency as people is to say no, right? I mean, we see somebody who's made a mess of things, and we just say no. I don't want to deal with that. I don't have the patience or the whatever it might be to deal with that. I'm just going to turn my back and say no. There's this mess that we see out in the world. Maybe there's a bunch of litter on the ground. And no, I'm not going to deal with that. That's somebody else's problem. We say no to messes and interruptions all the time. But Jesus says yes. Jesus says yes to the messes in our lives and in our hearts. Jesus says yes to the interruptions that we bring before him. Jesus says yes when we rip open the ceiling and the roof of the house and we get lowered down before Jesus. He says yes. Because he loves and cares for each and every one of us. No matter what the mess is, no matter how great an interruption, no matter how much we have messed up or messed up the situation is, Jesus always says yes to us. That is what love looks like. And friends, we are called to follow in the steps of Jesus, to be like him, to love like Jesus, to say yes to the messes and the interruptions that we encounter, to act as the friends did for the paralyzed man, to care for someone enough to bring them into the very presence of Jesus, to stop at nothing to seek God's love and grace and favor and hope and healing. There's an amazing study done back in the 1970s about addiction. It's called Rat Park. I don't know if any of y'all have read about this. But the idea behind the study was that maybe it's not the substance itself that drives addiction in people and in animals, but that maybe it's something else. That all the studies they'd done before, rats and other animals were in isolation, and so they would get addicted to whatever the substance was. And the idea, the hypothesis was, maybe it's actually the isolation that contributes to the addiction and not the substance. And so they set up an experiment with rats, and they put half of the rats in isolation in cages by themselves, and they offered them two things to drink. One is just plain water, and one was water filled, laced with morphine. And those rats, of course, went to the morphine over and over and over again and became addicted. But the other half of the rats, they put in what they called Rat Park, this kind of luxurious, wonderful space for rats with ways to interact with one another and things to play with and things to do and comfort and everything a rat could ever want, right? And they gave them the same drink options. One drink that was filled with just water and one that was water laced with morphine. And those rats tried the morphine water, but none of them became addicted. In fact, they all went most consistently to just the plain water. Because they were in a space that was comfortable and they were in community with other rats. They could interact and share and build relationships with one another. And so what this study at least suggests is that it's not so much the substance that drives addiction, but it's isolation. It's lack of community. And many times, that's what creates messes in our lives. It's not being in community and relationship with others. It's being alone. It's being in terrible circumstances. And so what if we could be like the friends? What if we could be like Jesus? What if we could offer hope and healing? If we could be in relationship and build community with one another? What if we could love one another? I'm convinced that a lot of the messes that are in life would go away. And even if they don't go away, they would be a whole lot easier to walk through. So friends, life is indeed messy. Interruptions happen, but they don't have to happen alone. Jesus says yes to us. Let us say yes to one another. Amen.